96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day.
And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice, it's Levin Miller. Happy Monday. I got some housekeeping to do. Want to get it out of the way really early. Let me, firstly, offer my congratulations to the Bishop Simeon Hall. Today is his birthday. Now, I see his son is saying something about it being his 75th, but I'm almost certain the bishop told me that it was going to be his 74th. And unless he's like my Auntie Bertie, I had an Auntie Bertie who was 75 for 25 years. So unless he's like my Auntie Bertie, who never stopped being 75, right? It's a funny thing. I remember I was a child. And as a six-year-old boy, Auntie Bertie told me she was 75. When my Auntie Bertie died, I was 26 years old when Auntie Bertie died. And Auntie Bertie died, and I looked in her obituary, and the obituary said that Auntie Bertie was 75. So maybe the bishop has the same ability that Auntie Bertie had. And that's why, he's not exactly sure what age he is, or he's probably not going to change age anytime soon. But to the bishop, wherever he is, whatever he's doing today, I want to say happy birthday to you, sir. And to those of you that may know Bishop Simeon Hall, please feel free to give him a call and tell him or wish him a happy birthday. If you also have been following me, you will know that I have been agitating for as many of you that can, for as many of you that can find it possible, to please go down to the New Covenant Baptist Church and to take with you some food supplies, canned goods, and non-perishables preferably. And take those in boxes if you can. If you can't, then take them in bags or take them in whatever you can take them in. And just take it down to the New Covenant Baptist Church, because this week coming, the bishop wants to do an inner city give back for his 74th birthday, if you ask the bishop, 75th, if you ask his son. But no matter which one of those two it is, what we do know is that the bishop wants to continue doing what it is that he's been doing for over 40 years, and that is servitude through ministry. And he intends to do that in the local inner city community, and we appreciate him for it. You know that I am enamored by the bishop, so this is my small way of helping him in that endeavor. Please go to the New Covenant Baptist Church and listen. You know how I feel about it. I'm a Church of God boy, all right? And so I very heavily believe in the prophet's reward. If you give to the prophet, the Bible tells me you shall receive the prophet's reward. So if you see Bishop Hall in his passing, in your passing, wish him a happy birthday and give the bishop 2 can of corned beef, all right? Because if you give the prophet 2 can of corned beef, according to the book I read, you should get at least 3 cans of corned beef, all right? So that's thing number one. Thing number two while I'm at it, and I do have a show planned today, but I kind of got to get to what is hot in the news. You all are going to completely hate me for saying this, and I hope that you all find no ill will or no ill feeling in my saying it. I am so excited about the fire at Porter Ski Dock. Like, I kind of wish it all had burned down 5 years ago, quite honestly. And the truth is, I think it is an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity for us to reimagine, for us to rethink, and for us to redevelop. When I saw the fire bellow out of Porter Ski Dock last evening, I said, surely the Lord is a good God. His mercies are everlasting, and his truth endureth through all the generations. Surely God is good, and that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I mean, I cannot tell you how fascinated I was to see it burn. I wish it would all burn to the ground, quite honestly. And I know that's not going to sound very gentle to the ears of some people. I know that people's livelihoods are attached to it. It is my hope that as many of them that are possible have protected themselves with the necessary insurances and et cetera. For those of you that haven't done that, it is my prayer that, you know, it doesn't put you in dire strait. It is also my prayer that you're able to rebound quickly. I understand what it feels like to lose business and business interests, but let us consider the possibility here, right? This studio is kind of warm. Let us consider what can happen if we get it right the next time, right? Because I couldn't imagine that somebody developed an outside eatery like the Porter Ski Dock. And I know there's the whole cable situation going on under the bridge, and that's why you can't have huts built directly under the bridge. But we're smart people, and I'm sure we can think about something, right? And so I have envisioned, right, a wonderful little docking area where people in nice skiffs and boats can actually pull into the Porter Ski Dock area and where the huts no longer block the view of the ocean. And I'm able to sit around a circular type hut and look at the water and enjoy the breeze and not have to worry about rodents that run over my foot and hide into compartments because they have the ability to do so because of how tightly meshed the buildings are. I think that it was the hand of God, actually, if you ask me, that caused there to be a fire yesterday at Porter Ski. I'm happy that at this point there's been no loss of life. But I cannot sit here and say that I am sad. I am not at all sad. And I imagine that we will build something that is the envy of entertainment centers. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to actually build something with paid metered parking and security guards that watch our vehicles and smaller huts that don't take up as much space and that actually play into the tapestry of Bahamian culture and that actually looks like the foot or the heel of the bridge on which the other side sits the largest resort property in the Caribbean. Well, not since Bahama, but you get the point I'm making, right? Like there's just no way we ought to have allowed Porter Ski Dock to become the shanty town that it was, right? And I know some people are out there trying to make their investments. And I know some people have been out there and have been trying to refurbish. But let's face it. We kind of failed with that, right? And if God is really in the miracle waking business, if God is still in the miracle waking business, I trust that Arawaki will be next. Because we failed at that, right? We failed at that, and I pray that one burn down next. That is my hope. Because we've got to, I realize, right, that in the Bahamas, we pussyfoot a lot, right? We like to tiptoe around things and teether with things, right? And the truth of the matter is, these designs were flawed and failed. If we try to move the people, they will protest to holy hell. But if by an act of God, they are removed, then the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous that run into it are safe, right? And I think we get an opportunity to restructure it. When I go to lunch at the Arawaki, I would so much more like to be able to look over at the harbor. I think it would be so much more intelligent for the area that you could actually fill in and grade off to be all parking. So everywhere there's huts now, that should be parking lot. And if you're really smart, you could build like a double tier or a triple tier parking lot. And then that wonderful picturesque view of Nassau Harbor. Yeah, you build a bunch of little circular huts there. I hope the little shanty towns on the beach that exist now, let them burn down too, right? Like, I just want God to... What did the prophets say to the prophets of Baal? God, if you be God, then answer now and answer by fire. Yeah, that's the kind of prayer I pray in for these two establishments. And then we could start over. And we could put nice little circle huts, that entire area there, because nobody doing cookouts no more. You can carry all your cookout, care them Martin Bailey. But I could come out and sit to a wonderful, circular, Caribbean-looking hut out on the waterfront that don't have air conditioning. I want none of them to have air conditions, because I want it to just be circular and we could just enjoy the ocean air and sit down and drink liquor and have a real island experience. And I like drink my liquor out of a coconut. That is what I hope. So God, if you be God. God, if you be God. Answer now. And answer by fire. So my prayers are with the people of Portiski. My prayers are with them and their business acumen. My prayers are with them and their ability to rejuvenate themselves after this loss. My prayers are with them in their endeavors going forward. However, I believe that something good is going to come out of this, right? And hopefully that doesn't make you all hate me too much, but I want to tell you that if there is one person that is not at all saddened, not even the littlest, it is I, Levin Miller, about the fire last night. But I do hope that we're able to get to the bottom of it, and I do hope that at the end of the day, there is no such thing as arson or anything illegal discovered. Let us just hope that God heard and that God answered. And that God answered by fire. Let us just hope, all right? Okay, so if you listen to the show on Friday as well, you will know that I was in a state of bewilderment, right? I was in a state of disrepair and unbelief, right? Because the Duke of Edinburgh had gone on to meet the Lord, right? And that you know, I had a grandmother that was 87 years old at the time of her demise. And she had at that time been married to my good, loving grandfather, Bishop in the Church of God, the Bishop L.K. Miller, for 73 years at the time. So I could only imagine Her Majesty's chagrin the morning of Friday that she woke up and they told her that her husband of 70 years had gone on. And, you know, I see pictures of her floating in and around social media. And I have to tell you, though, after losing a husband of 70 years at the age of 95, and the woman still looks regal and resplendent. Not a strand of hair is out of place. I saw a picture of her, and there was a picture of her, I think it was on Saturday past or Sunday past, they did a little morning ceremony. And I don't know how you do it. Maybe when you get to a certain social status in life. This woman is able to get a single teardrop to just sit right on her face. How did she do it? It's a mystery, the monarch. But for whatever it is worth, I was torn apart about that. And then could you imagine, I got off air, and after days of hearing it rumored that one of the greatest black rappers of my lifetime, for sure, had also met his demise. I was so hurt, flabbergasted, actually, taken aback. All right. And so if you recall, on Friday, in honor and in respect to the life of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, Mountbatten, formerly, I played the anthems of the British national anthem, right? Followed by the British song, you know it, Rule Britannia. Today, I must now jump on the other side of the spectrum, and in honor of one of the greatest black rappers of my lifetime, I must pay my tribute to DMX.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Preach. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt Preach. Condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Preach.
And that righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus. Devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and ain't nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
me closer to you, cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he fighting. Cry about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped, or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I wanna feel, show me how, please. Let me take your hand, guide me. I walk sober, stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get because I try.
What?
I won't quit until I die.
What?
I'm gonna make it wrong or right.
Yeah.
Make it through the darkest night.
Yeah.
When the morning comes, you'll see that all I have is God.
Lord, give me a sign.
Woo. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
And that was a rap legend now, the late DMX. Again, one of the greatest of my lifetime for sure. A troubled man, right? I'm going to do a show on Wednesday. I'm actually putting that together because, you know, we see the entertainer, we see the entertainment. We never really factor in what is the price of that entertainment. So that's what my show is about on Wednesday. But today I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about something else. Before I get there, though, I tell you I got a little bit of this housekeeping to do. Guardian Radio is celebrating 9 years. Can you believe it? Guardian Radio has been giving you fresh news and smart talk now for 9 years nonstop. Every morning that you wake up and you turn on your radio, Guardian Radio is here with you. And we've brought you some of the best talent in the business, some of the greatest stories, some of the saddest stories, some of the most exciting stories. We've given you an opportunity to talk to us as we took an opportunity to talk to you. So if you see anybody of the Guardian team, whether it is celebrities like Juan McCartney or less celebrities like Aaron Green, yeah, please say a happy anniversary to them as we continue to provide you with fresh news and smart talk. Now, I just have to revisit this, right? Because, sometimes I say things and I have to tell you all, like, the first time that you all hear things is typically the first time I hear it. So my shows aren't pre-recorded. These are all very live. You can come in studio right now and pinch me. It's live. So maybe I said it a bit wrong, right? Maybe you all didn't hear it, right? So I want to say this. I am heart-wrenched when I think about the catastrophe that last night must have meant for many of the businessmen at the Port of Ski Dock facility. I couldn't imagine waking up this morning and my entire investment being burnt to the ground. I couldn't imagine that. For that, my prayers are with those people. I am hopeful to God and to whomever else that those people have themselves protected by the necessary insurances. And in the instances that they are not, hopefully this isn't the one thing, the one lynching pin that kind of sinks them into further financial deprivation and destruction. Hopefully. That is my prayer. It's my prayer that they're able to rebound from this, that they're able to rebound bigger, better, stronger, nicer, newer, fancier. It is my hope that this time we will do it and that it will be something that will be the envy of the Caribbean, if not the world. I want when men fly over the universe from space, or when men fly over the earth from space, I want them to be able to identify two things, the Exuma Keys and Port of Ski from space. That is how marvelous a creation I hope that they create out there. I hope to, in a year or two from now, pull up out there and, yes, be able to park along the roadside near the ocean side and have yachts parked outside there and have nice wooden docking facilities that are actually well-kept and be able to kind of take my lady friend and we walk down the boardwalk that they will possibly make all the way around the eating areas of Port Esqui. Hopefully something marvelous is created out of this. And so in your hour of darkness and despair, I say to the Port Esqui vendor, a brighter day is always ahead if you just have faith and hold on. Help and hope is on the way. All right? So my prayers are with you. I hope that you all are able to weather this storm. I hope that this isn't the darkest of your dark days, or I hope that the darker of your dark days are behind you at this point, and that everything from here is light at the end of the tunnel. All right, so I think I've gotten everything out of the way. DMX is dead. God rest his soul. You know, DMX actually said, if he died, he said this in an interview about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, and if I died right now, in my last breath, the last thought in my head would be that I've lived a good life. And I think that's a pretty decent place to go, all right? Okay, so here's what I'm talking about today. You can call me, feel free. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And I know my opening spiel has been a lot, but here is what I'm really talking about today. I am talking about the fact that there has been a young man about 3 weeks ago now that has been captured by either police or civilians who assaulted a schoolgirl, right? Of course, he was captured, brought before the courts, and I'm going to read a little bit of that story because he pled guilty. But if you read into the story, and I'm sure the judge agrees based on the decision that I see she's made so far, according to my information, he's not yet been sentenced, but he's already pled guilty, so I don't think it's sub judice anymore. This boy is obviously off of his rockers. All right, this chap is obviously not in a good mental place. And I'll tell you what is curiously interesting to me, right? Because we just glaze over these issues, right? And I want to talk to the consciousness of you who are out there. I hope that you're in your car so that as I talk, you can see it. We drive past these people every day. They almost become a part of again, of the topography of our own life's landscape, right? We pass them every day. They are a part of our everyday commute. And so while we do not know their names, while we do not know their backstories, while we have no idea why they are, where they are, when they are, where they are, while we know none of that, we cannot pretend as though we do not know who they are or for how long they have struggled with this. I've had an opportunity to be a public transportation engineer in and around the city of Nassau. And I'll tell you, it was then, about 7 years ago, that I began to realize exactly how many untreated, undiagnosed mental patients we have in New Providence. Now, what is saddening to me is New Providence, if you were to measure it, holds about 70% of the population of the Bahamas. I think at last check, it was 287,000 out of a 400,000 people population, right? And what's troubling is the landmass here is only 21 miles by 7, depending on how you measure it. It is then saddening to me that on a piece of landmass, which is possibly one of the smaller pieces in the entire Caribbean, we are unable to, in a more reasonable way, manage the way we treat people that we would colloquially call crazy people, or that medically they would determine medically unstable or mentally unstable. So you drive past the red light at Prince William, and you know the lady and the man that stands there every single day, and you know that you've watched them migrate from the corner of Balfour. Is it Balfour? Is it Cordo Avenue and Blue Hill Road? You know that there is a man, possibly right now, standing at the corner of Cordo Avenue and Market Street. You know him. The guy that says, give me a dollar, give me a dollar, give me a dollar, give me a dollar, please. You know him. You know exactly what he says. You know exactly what he's going to say when he comes to your car window. You know that if you're in the area of the Clarence A. Bain building, there is possibly a young man sleeping underneath the almond tree right now with a collection of t-shirts and bottles or whatever that is he collects there under that tree. And right adjacent to him, on the pawn side, is a young lady that apparently strips herself in the middle of the road and cuts her hair out. You know, if you're in the Grove community, that there is a young girl of Haitian descent that seems to have some sort of imbalance that causes her to grow hair freakishly, that walks naked in the road. We know these people. We pass them every single day. They have become a part of our life. We know about the guy on Carmichael Road that used to be on Wolf Road one time that says, "Hey, cousin, give me dollar." And we see him every single day. We know about the guy on Wolf Road and what is that? Wolf and East Street. Who sometimes finds himself all the way into downtown Nassau. And we see him every day. There, if you live in the South Beach community, there's an elderly gentleman that God knows has been doing this from I was a student at Carlton Francis that kind of ties stuff around his head and wears a little mask like a superhero. And he's always at the Chinese food store. We know this. These people aren't strangers to us. These people are very much a part of our community. These people are very much a part of our everyday lives. We pass them more times than we see members of our own family in some instances. And the question is, how are we fixing this? How are we preventing these people from causing in a civil society or in a civilized society the kind of mischief that could cause incivility to balloon? Like what if, right? And I'm going to play the voice note because it's in the public domain. It's literally been circulating now for 3 weeks. So I'm sure you must have heard it. I'm going to play the voice note from Dr. Kent Bazard. So if you know Kent, please tell him tune into Guardian Radio right now for me so that he knows that I am playing it, right? But what if this chap had actually taken a hold of this young girl? What would be the spinoff in our society cost-wise in having to deal with us? Since the principle in economics is Tan Staffel, T-A-N, S-T-A-A-F-L. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. So every action or every interaction, there is or must be an associated cost. And what is the price? What is the price that we are comfortable paying, having people that are obviously not functioning in themselves walking so freely in our community? And what are we as a people prepared to demand of the people that hold the public purse going to do about causing there to be some sort of reform that takes these people from among us and get them help before they find themselves before a chief magistrate? That is the question I'm asking, because I don't think it is something that we talk about enough. I recall that there was a gentleman on the corner of Gladstone Road and Carmichael Road that I am convinced I watched go into mental insanity. There is a girl that now walks on the Porterski dock that also came out of the Carmichael Road area that I am convinced I watched go into her mental insanity or to the point that she's at now. And there are some times that I actually feel a bit woeful in my own ability to help them. Because what do you do? But certainly the answer cannot be to just leave them to ruin. That cannot be the answer, because you must then account for the fact that what happens if they walk into to move in traffic? Could you think about the cataclysmic damage that they could cause? What if they do things like molest our underage children? Can you think about the catastrophe that could create? Is that the society you want to live in, where a man is able to visit himself violently upon an underage girl and then not even be able to be punished for it because he simply was not in the right mental space? That is something I think we ought to think about. And so we can mentally fondle ourselves about PLPs and FNMs and who was the better and who was the worse and whether Peter Nygaard was bad or whether the FNM was worse or, and we, I mean, we, you know, We can engage in mental masturbation if we choose. But there are some real fundamental issues around this, please, that if not in this election cycle, in the very next one or the one after that one, are going to become issues that we must face. And so that's what I want to talk about. How are we dealing this? What is it that the general public want to see? Because you don't know their name, but you know their face. You know their location. You know their geographical location almost without effort. And that means that there must be something that you can do about it. There must be something more that you should be saying about it. And I'm here today to see if you could help me think about how to get it fixed. Hopefully the people with the power and the public press will listen. And we'll see what happens if we're able to engage the conversation. Anyway, I'm going to the break. It's Levin Miller. When I get back, I play the voice note from Dr. Camp Bazard. And then we talk about it. 323-6232 when I get back.
Go against our skin, become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh.
Good morning and welcome back. So you heard my opening salvo, right? I'm going to let you hear the voice note now from Dr. Kent Bazard. A voice note circulated by him in social media that's been circulating now for about 4 weeks. So I'm sure everyone has already heard it. But I'm going to let you hear it. And then I'm going to read the follow-ups in the news so that you know exactly where we are. And according to my information, the man has not been sentenced yet. But he has offered a guilty plea, right? So he's just awaiting sentencing based on his return of his psychiatric evaluation. So play the clip for me from Dr. Kent Bazard.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Kent Bazard. I'm giving my name because this is a serious situation. Today is Wednesday, March 24, 2021. At approximately 8:35 in the morning, this morning, I witnessed a young male attempting to assault a female primary school student at Palmdale Primary as she was walking to school. She was approximately 7 years old. The gentleman appeared to be a vagrant. As I was pulling up behind him, I first assumed he was walking her to school. As I got closer, I noticed that his pants were down. This is just past the Bellagio Plaza. She was just coming, I guess, around that area, the Bellagio Plaza, where the Department of Statistics is. He had his pants down, no underwear on. At first, I thought he was fixing his clothes. When I got slightly past him, I don't even know why I looked again. And I noticed his genitalia was out, and he had a full erection. I'm in the medical field, so, well, I'm a male too, so I know that he had an erection. So I immediately stopped my car in the street. I jumped out. And as I jumped out, the person behind me first got annoyed, of course, and then when he looked and saw what was going on, he also jumped out. And I think by the time I got to the guy, another car jumped out. The guy ran into the street. The third car that stopped gave chase on foot. I grabbed the girl and I started to walk her towards the school. She was shaking, but she seemed to be okay. I also jumped in my car. The male ran towards the Rubis gas station on Mackey and Madera. He ran through the gas station. I jumped into my car, and the other gentleman who was chasing our foot came back to his car, and we both jumped into our vehicles. The guy ran through, I think it's called Hill Street, the corner there where the tire shop is. He cut through some properties and we circled for a few moments. We were unable to find him. And let me get to the identification really quick. This gentleman was approximately 5'6 to 5'9, medium build, dark skin. He had on a navy blue, you know, look like those Dickies mechanic clothes. The separate top, the button-up short sleeve top, and the blue pants, either brown or black boots. He had a low afro. And clean shaven. Like no beard or mustache that I noticed. So, I'm sorry, it just made me very upset. Spoke to a police officer. I alerted a friend of mine who's a police officer, who also alerted the local police. They will continue to search in the area, but I just wanted everybody to know, send this around. If you know anybody who works in this area, who's around this area, Palmdale, Madera Street area, who works around here, who travels this area, please be on the lookout for this gentleman. Call the police if you see him. I keep saying gentleman. If you see this male, be on the lookout. This is a predator walking the street, not afraid to attack a 7-year-old girl in broad daylight on the side of the road. He had his arm around her, or he was trying to put his arm around her, and she was like trying to get away from him. He had his genitalia out in public and obviously did not care until we stopped. So please send us around. This is not for fame or any nonsense like that, nothing political at all. But especially if you know someone personally who's in this area a lot, let's catch this guy, please.
Okay, and so that is Dr. Kent Bazard, right? You see, he gives name, date, time, place, identifies himself. But there is something that is curiously interesting in that audio, you know, and I have great respect for Dr. Kent Bazard. He is a wonderful human being, a great guy, if you know him. I mean, there, you can't think about two reasons in succession to dislike Kent Bazard, right? But I hear him, like I hear in his voice, I hear the frustration, I hear the desire to react, to do something, maybe really realizing his own human limitations, bound by, of course, the law. Because I will tell you now, if somebody pulled their genitalia, I've got children, and if you pull your genitalia out on my children, the police is not taking you into custody because they're going to be busy taking me into custody, and that is all I have to say about that. All right, so I get it. But we use words like the man was a vagrant, he's a predator, roaming around, not afraid to attack. And in the heat of the moment, right, because the first time I heard the voice note, I'm telling you now, if you pull your genitalia out on anyone of leaving children, me, Smith, and Weston coming looking for you. Hear ye the voice of the prophet, all right? But then I read the court proceedings, right? And I said to and instantly I was saddened by it. Because the report from the court reads like this. A 29-year-old man was charged in the magistrate's court today with indecent exposure after he allegedly showed his genitalia to a schoolgirl as she walked along Madera Street on Wednesday. Joel Griffin, so now we know his name, who appeared before Chief Magistrate Joy Ann Ferguson Pratt, was accused of willfully and unlawfully indecently exposing himself in the presence of the young girl whose name has been withheld as she is a minor. This is where it gets emotional for me. Griffin inaudibly spoke to himself for several minutes as he sat in the courtroom awaiting his matter to be called. He was not represented by an attorney when he appeared for first plea. After the chief magistrate asked how he pleaded, Griffin said, "I plead?" He trailed off and paused for a while before Ferguson Pratt repeated, "How do you plead?" He eventually said, "I plead guilty." His sentencing was deferred to April 12th at noon. Okay, and so right there, it sounds like a man that is unstable and quite unaware of where he even possibly is at the time. And that gives him no excuse. And again, I say to you, I do not support, condone, endorse, or any other adjective, child abuse in any form. And if you pull your genitalia on children that belong to Levin Miller, the police won't look for you because they will be busy looking for me. But is it fair that we live in a society where the people that need mental help find themselves charged with things like vagrancy, all because they are in a place where really either drugs has overtaken them or whether some abuse or some other untreated mental thing has overtaken them? Is it then fair to allow them to live in our society? So it goes on. There is another story that says 29-year-old ordered to take psychiatric evaluation before sentencing. Nassau, Bahamas, a 29-year-old man who has pled guilty to indecent exposure after he allegedly showed his genitalia to a schoolgirl was ordered to submit to a psychiatric evaluation prior to his sentencing. Joel Griffin appeared before Chief Magistrate Joyanne Ferguson Pratt yesterday and was read the particulars of the matter. The prosecution said on March 24 at 10 a.m., Griffin was seen on the Madera Street exposing his penis to a sixth-grade student from Palmdale Primary as she was walking to school. He was arrested for the indecent exposure and taken to the Wolfville Police Station. The prosecution said that in an interview, under caution, Griffin admitted to the police that he exposed his penis to the schoolgirl. He reportedly told officers that he was attracted to the size of the minor's butt, so he went towards her and walked alongside her with his pants below his butt, while simultaneously exposing his penis. Griffin reportedly also told police that because his butt was already showing, he thought it would have been sexy for his penis to show as well. The prosecution said that while he has had a previous record, it is not for a similar offense. Griffin told the court he has been to Sandilands Rehabilitation Center before, but had not been back for years. He said he was prescribed pills and did not go back to the facility, but no longer took those pills. Ferguson Pratt urged that he submitted himself to psychiatric evaluation before sentencing. She also urged the prosecution to red flag the matter as urgent because she wishes to adjudicate as soon as reasonably practicable. Instead of the usual six-week time period for the evaluation, Ferguson Pratt said she hopes it is completed within 4 weeks and the matter could be heard before May 4th. So the man that we now know to be Joel Griffin is sitting in Fox Hill Prison, remanded, because he's awaiting a psychiatric evaluation, right? But how long was Joel walking among us? Obviously not sitting steady on his four legs. Completely not being checked at, looked into, cared by, about, for, by anyone. Until the little green man speaks to him, right? And now he does something, and he's described as a vagrant and a predator and an attacker and someone that people should be on the lookout for. When and I say this as cautiously as I know how, if Joel pull his penis out on Alexandria, I promise you, this will be the end of penis pulling out forever, probably. Notwithstanding my firm belief that I would harm a man for doing that to my child, the question is, was it really Joel? And where are we with people like Joel? Or are we just comfortable continuously, daily, driving past these people that we use now almost as prominent landmarks as we go to our gated communities, and what is it that we expect from the people with the public purse and the power to fix it? 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can text me on 4224796. Kermit, let's open the lines. Good morning, Kwali, you're on.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. Hey, what's going on, your buddies from the old watering hole downtown?
Hey.
All right, yes. I just want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman in the Wolf Road area between a bar on Soldier Road and Wolf Road and Camp Road. There are several bars right in that area. He's tall, very thin, usually very, very dirty.
Mm-hmm.
He never wears a mask. He sleeps on the sidewalk by Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Also lays down in front of that car company on Wolf Road by Flowers. It's another Toyota or something over there. He sleeps on the sidewalk. I see him every day, right? If the police, you have COVID police, you have regular police, you have other government workers, vigilance people, not so small. If I can see him every day, realistically, mm-hmm. I see him every day with a Cuba Libre or Mr. Bodenhoff buying Gilby's or vodka. He horses it right back all the time, throws it right on the ground. But if I'm at a club, and no matter how many people is legal or not legal, the police, 4 or 5 COVID cars pulls up with a police full of police officers with machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been approached like this on Phillips Road, also on the holiday. I've called the talk show. I've been stopped and told to go home prior to 10 o'clock. It's not 10 o'clock. But if I'm getting some food from down by Mills or getting me a beer and the police pull up on me, they want to send a 52-year-old man home. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you ain't got a right to do that. But I say, this man up here and his pants, just like the other guy, he wasn't doing it to a little girl, but a lot of times his genitals are exposed because he doesn't have a belt,
mm-hmm.
and his pants is loose,
mm-hmm.
and it drops. And there's another guy like that too, several of them, and people have children riding in the car or walking, and he's exposed, and he is bareback,
mm-hmm.
and very stink, and he doesn't have a mask on. But how come the COVID police can't take these people aside?
I don't know if it's, and thank you very much, Carla. I'm almost out of time, but I don't know if it's even, if it's even, because COVID will go away eventually, and then there will be no COVID police, right? But we've got to deal with the problem more systemically than that, I think. You know, it brings to bear that there's a guy on Market Street that hangs in the area of Purity Bakery. You know, I've seen his genitals enough times now for him to be my husband if I was into that kind of stuff. And no one says nothing. He sits in the road in a wheelchair that he obviously doesn't need, drags it along with his feet. So he has feet that work well enough to pull a wheelchair. But he does so, you know, with his penis in his hand most days, right? And you cannot say you do not know that he's there. So what do we do about it? Let's take another call. Come on, Carly, you're on. Carly, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you?
My little lemonade, how's everything?
You feel good?
Sure, now this more this thing. There we go, hello.
Hey, Swaggy.
Yeah, I'm trying on the TV. Boy, you know how much time you're hugging on me this morning. I even do so. I was waiting until you gave the numbers out. You know, like you said, these things have been going on in this country for so long that some of these policemen done retired and everything, and these was going on before some of these policemen joined the force.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them gone through being a constable up to being commissioner of police and was seeing these fellas on the side of the road. Nothing has ever done. Maybe they don't have no place big enough to put them. Maybe silence is full.
Shouldn't we invest now, though, Sparky, in that?
Yeah, but we were supposed to be invested in these things a long time. We paid millions of dollars to do an extension and renovation to silence a long time ago, and there's buildings with the foundation still on the ground. You remember contractors were supposed to pay $4 million to build something, then they got $40 million to build something there. We didn't see no additional buildings going up there yet.
Mm.
So maybe we don't have no place in the prison to put nobody. So that's why they let people out on the street, because there's no more space up there. They said it was only built to hold so much people, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got must be tripled the capacity up there in prison. Same thing with the girls' place. Same thing with the pen place with the little boys. They're sending people back out on the street. Nobody doing nothing.
What's the price we're willing to pay, though, Sparky? So here's the deal, right? You let him walk among you. You let him walk among you in your society because you claim, man, I can't afford to take care of him.
Don't turn me off.
Right? I talking to you, Sparky.
All right.
And so you say, we can't afford to take care of him. We can't afford to house him. We can't afford to medicate him, right? But then he goes and he rapes a six-year-old child. God knows what medical trauma he causes. God knows what mental trauma he causes. And so now you have that living in your society. She has children. No, only God one knows what she will pour onto those children. And so now you have that in your society. And so you end up with a cancer. Like, isn't it just cheaper to fix the people that are visibly, showing the signs?
Mr. Miller, I mean, it's harsh to say some of these things. Like we glad for the scheme burning down. I'm one of them. Enough the building's ain't burning down. Because look like that's the only way get things done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As if they destroyed by fire. Remember one time Bay Street was on fire down, mm-hmm. Miller all out. He was waiting for that day to come all his life as a reporter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody say Darrell Miller was stupid.
Yeah,
the fire engine come down there, they say they ain't got no water. But the ocean right there, you ain't got no water, but the ocean right there. you understand?
I got you, Sparky.
You and Miller, Smith and Weston, if that was your child, you, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Weston.
The tree ass was getting on there.
But what I was saying, I think like that sometimes when you get to the point, get one big barge, pick all of these people up.
But that wouldn't fix it, Sparky.
Take the barge out to sea.
That wouldn't fix it because there will be new... Okay, these people aren't the people who have mental problems from your time, right? These are, I'm sure, because some of these people look at me like 40. So what happened to the people before them that had the mental issues? We just let them die off? So, okay, this is a new set. So if we take these set and put them on a barge, what will happen to the ones that will come behind them?
But you just get one barge up there and every month then there's no one take the barge out. Right off the drop off of the ocean and take
Sparky, we got to come up with a better plan than that. Thanks, though, Sparky. I almost out of time. Let me read a couple of these text messages. I like the things you say, Mr. Miller. Well, I don't know which of the things I said, but thank you. Miller, two straight F&M. Okay, let's see. Here, Sparky talking about the barge. Don't get put on the barge, mister. Good morning, Mr. Miller. You would need AC at Portiski and Araki because of the fuel and the foul air in the area. I'm sure we can fix that. We also have those type of people like that in government as well, but we don't try to help them. I can tell you, sir, I had a friend years ago. He will stand on Nassau Street, walk like he had a stroke with a shaky hand and kick out dragon feet. He knew what he was doing. He is now a big-time taxi driver. A lot of them know exactly what they are doing. This here says, Brother Miller, please give the WhatsApp numbers 422-4796. This here says... Leaving one thing that has to be done is to abolish the name Sandilands and rename it something else in our country. Sandilands equals crazy, and that's a bad thing. So rebrand the institution with another name to help with mental health and invest more and expand that institution outside of its present location. That sounds like a decent idea. Brother Miller, please note the Bahamians are not buying into lies and promises by these two political parties, PLP and FNM, any longer. Why are we focusing on them? I didn't say anything about the PLP and FNM today. Did I? Not that I could recall. Hi, wait till you see how much millions the government will spend to rebuild those few stores. LOL. Help and hope is on the way. Is that Christy coming back? I tell the woman them, that is why we need real men in our community. And where are the outcry from the women on this matter? Well, I didn't tell you before. I see they let the people drag Lanisha Rule, that good church woman, Baptist, she's a Baptist though, that good Baptist woman, through the mud and then put the taint of scandal on her and none other woman them get up and say nothing. I have lost all faith. Zonta Fonta, don't you want her? I don't want to hear from none of them. That's how I feel about them. All right? You are right, Levin. They don't even... And they like to put on these bunch of ribbon and cut ribbon and fancy color and pink for this and orange for that and blue for the next thing and purple for the next thing. You let one man had one problem with his wife and see how much of them would get up, right? This thing been in the news now 3 weeks. Outside of me and the news, I ain't never heard nowhere else. That's all I have to say. Anyway, I'm out of time. But we've got to figure out a way to fix this, all right? Because we can't allow these people to continue to live among us because they will cost us something. Tan Stafford, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, all right? That's my time. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you so much for joining me as I was unleashed. Don't move. They've got the news. It's next.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. formed against. Yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus.